I dare say that many of us remember certain occasions or events in our lives that were particularly meaningful to us in some way. Now, many of these events had to do with celebrations, with birthdays, anniversaries, weddings. Perhaps it was the birth of a child, or maybe it was that time when we got our first job, or when we made that wonderful decision to retire. Whatever it was, it had meaning for us, and we wanted to share it. We called on our family and friends to join us in our time of celebration. It is a very human trait to want others to share the things that are meaningful to us. Now, some things we celebrate as a family, perhaps as a neighborhood. We even celebrate as a country, such as on the 4th of July when we acknowledge the birth of our nation. Sometimes what we celebrate is a particular relationship, giving attention to the qualities and the attributes that make up that relationship. Now, one of these relationships is the one that we call Father. We have set aside today to celebrate and remember that individual. Today is known as Father's Day. Now, when we all hear that word, father, each of us thinks in terms of that biological parent, or the one who filled that role in our lives, the one that we call dad. Now, I believe that it is appropriate for us to do this on the occasion called Father's Day. And it is also understood that each one of us will remember in a personal way. When we consider the one that we call dead, some of us have some very pleasant memories, while others, well, maybe not so much. For some individuals, the one known as dead played a very important part in our lives. For others, for whatever reason, their father might have been mostly absent. So there really wasn't a relationship with Father. Well, regardless, whatever our experience, each one of us has an idea of what makes up that relationship called Father. We understand that certain qualities are given to the name, and many times it is the qualities that we remember, the ones we recognize and celebrate. While not everyone had a relationship with their biological parent, all of us can understand the qualities and the attributes assigned to Father. Jesus told us to call no man on earth your father, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Now, Jesus is speaking of our spiritual identity. He is speaking of the relationship between the Creator and its creation. In Genesis, we read, God created man in his own image. In the likeness of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, Jesus is telling us that there is more to us than the physical form that we appear to be. We are much greater than that man who relies on his personal thought and the testimony of his five senses for his understanding of life. Now, those of you who are here this morning are interested in a spiritual interpretation to life, or you wouldn't be here. You may have even grown a little weary of your personal thoughts. You might have been left down by the testimony of your five senses, and you wanted to know more. When we are first introduced to a spiritual teaching, we are really looking for a new idea of us. And we find us willing to think, move, and have our being outside that box created by humanhood. Now, to know us in this way, as a spiritual being, we know that we are God's child, sharing His qualities and His attributes. And in the process, we discover our own divine sonship, both male and female. We now have another idea of us. We have a brand new idea of who we are, one that is compatible with the Creator, our Father, which is in heaven. Now, when we first came into this world, we were very dependent on the one that we call Dad. We looked to him for our good. We relied on that individual to meet our needs, to clothe us, to feed us, to give us shelter and transportation. Our lives were pretty much dependent on this individual. And we did everything within our power to please him. It was very important for us to receive his attention and, yes, his approval. Now, many of us carry this same need with us into adulthood, way beyond the time that we were depending on that individual to meet our material needs. While we no longer needed this individual to clothe us, to feed us, to give us shelter and transportation, we still continued to look to him for attention and for approval. We wanted him to think highly of us, to look upon us and be well pleased. Even into adulthood, we still needed a father. Now, we looked to him for direction and guidance for in our time of decision. The dependency was still there. Not so much now because of the particular individual, but because of the responsibilities associated with the relationship. A father is supposed to be there for his children. A father is to give encouragement, love, and understanding on into eternity. These are the qualities that make up father, and yes, we want that relationship. Each of us is in need of this support, and we look for the one who is willing to provide it. And quite naturally, we look first to that one called Dad for this fulfillment. But once again, we are reminded, call no man on earth your father, for one is your Father which is in heaven. When we look to man whose breath is in his nostrils for our good, we are relying on another individual to fulfill us. Now, human beings, even the one we call dead, are not equipped to do this. Human beings, even that biological parent, still have needs of their own to be met. They, too, are looking for someone to fulfill them. So what do we do? What do we do with this relationship we call father? To enter into this life experience on a material plane of existence, we are required to have a material body. The avenue for this manifestation is provided by the biological parents. Our biological parents had others who served this role for them. Now, to discover our divine sonship, both male and female, we must go beyond the role-playing that allowed us to come into this world as manifested form. We must get our idea of us out of the human picture. To discover our divine sonship, we must consider the relationship of the Creator and its creation. In our time of study, we read Jesus' comment concerning the one Father, which is in heaven. And the more we consider this, the thought may occur to us, oh, if there is one Creator, then that means that we are really all children of the One. It dawns on us that both our biological parent and us share the One Father. And it is to this Father that we should both turn. It is really this Father we celebrate and acknowledge, which means that every day is Father's Day. Now, wouldn't it be interesting if we could have this conversation with our biological parent or that one who filled the role in our lives? If over dinner today we could turn to Dad and discuss the Father that we both share. If we could perhaps say, Dad, I want to thank you for providing food, clothing, shelter, and transportation in my early years. I really need them. I needed them at that time. And I thank you for providing them. I want to thank you for taking on that role. But you know what? Our needs go beyond the outer manifestation. Both of us have needs that are not addressed by our personal experience or our five senses. And then we continue our conversation. We could talk more about the one Father, the one that is in heaven. We could share the understanding about the qualities and the attributes that are ours, both of ours, as a result of our divine sonship. We could talk about the Father's love and comfort, about the kingdom that is in us, and the immediacy of His presence. Now, we could do this, but I doubt that any of us will actually have this conversation. For some of us, our fathers are no longer on this earth plane. For others, well, Dad might not be ready to have this conversation. But you know what? It really doesn't matter. When we discover our divine sonship, both male and female, we know who we are, and we can no longer think of us in the same old way. We are no longer dependent on another human being for our good, for his attention, or approval. And then an interesting thing happens. We will also begin to look at Dad in a different way. Now, in the past, we might have sat in judgment of him, judging him to be inadequate, not quite up to meet our standards of fatherhood. But now we understand that the father of humanhood never could fulfill or satisfy us. No human being can give us what is necessary for our personal journey. The man of flesh and bone does not have the ability to do this. This responsibility belongs to that one Father which is in heaven. Now, when we think of Dad, we may do so without judgment. Rather, we look on him with love, in recognition that we have both been on a personal journey in our discovery of life. Many times we act according to what we know, and we also realize that we cannot demonstrate beyond where it is that we are in consciousness. Well, now that we really understand about our divine sonship, both male and female, what is it that we do with this information? You see, many of us have spent a lifetime being a child of somebody, born into a particular family, doing whatever it was that that family did. We claim that identity. Physically, we looked like somebody, and we talked and we walked like the family. We were known as a particular member of that family, perhaps a neighborhood or culture. And we accepted all this because, well, we thought that was who we were, and we thought that was where we belonged. But now you see, we have a different idea of who we are. And we are going to have to learn to live and act from this new idea. Yes, we still belong to a family, but it is a spiritual family, and we are still in need of a father. Now, I said earlier that we look to the one we call Dad for his attention and for his approval. We wanted him to think highly of us and to be well pleased. Well, we now look to our Heavenly Father in this way, and yes, we very much want to please Him. But just what does this Father require, and what do we do to please Him? When we live from our divine sonship, it means that we have established in our consciousness our true relationship with the Father, the Creator, the Son, the creation, God expressing as us. And really, we please God by abiding in this awareness, allowing Him to do the work, being the empty vessel for Him to express. It is really this established consciousness that allows us to declare, my health is not in my body, but it is found in my divine sonship. My intelligence, it's not to be found in my brain, but in my divine sonship. My companionship that I have with other men and women, it's not in them, but in the divine sonship that we share. We could go on. My supply is not in dollar bills, but to be found in my divine sonship. This approach to life will change the way that we approach life. We no longer attempt to mold our lives with the use of thought, trying to think something into expression. Rather, we allow the established consciousness to bear witness to what already is. Let us remember that God created a finished kingdom, and no amount of thinking on our part can do anything to it. Now, it is true that the world will continue to present its trials and its tribulations, and I am sure that it will find many who are willing to accept them, but not you. Your divine sonship will not allow it. As long as we are in this world, we will be tempted. Yes, this will happen. But you know, we are now consciously one with the spiritual family, and we heed the words of the family members who have gone before us. Be in this world, but not of it. These things, they no longer move me. I have overcome the world. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. These are statements of truth. They are given to us by our elder brothers, the ones who discover their divine sonship. Now, I said earlier that many times on Father's Day, what we really celebrate are the qualities that we are familiar with, those that are associated with the position a father, and not necessarily the human personality. And now we talk about the Father within. But you know, none of us can really describe just what this means, because the Father within is not like the human parents. When we think about God, we're really merely entertaining a concept that we might have at that moment about God. We cannot really know God with the human thought, nor can that human thought reveal our divine sonship. We do not attribute human qualities to God at all. We know God in our heart and not in our head. When we first discovered a spiritual teaching, we studied, we read books, and we entered into prayer and meditation. And because of our dedication, our devotion, and our commitment, we finally discovered that true self, our divine sonship. It is this established consciousness that knows the Father. It is the in the heart, the feeling nature that knows that it knows. And then it is a matter of being what it knows. We do not stress over anything to become something, but rather we express what we already are, all of an activity of our own consciousness. We do not seek out harmony, love, joy, peace, but rather we express them. These are the qualities of the Father which are in heaven, and it is our birthright to express them. To live from the consciousness of the divine sonship, both male and female, is to express all that is contained in that identification. And you know we can do this. Remember when we thought of us as the human expression? Well, we had no difficulty taking on the attributes displayed by that particular family. We belonged to that family, and we found ourselves walking and talking like the family. When our divine sonship lives us, it is not a matter of us acting in any way at all. It is a matter of us being what we already are. And when we live from the divine does the work. The divine expresses what it is. It can be no other way. And as we continue to practice and to listen inwardly, we will reach that point where we will hear these words: "This is my child in whom I am well pleased." Let us take a moment to give recognition to the one Father, which is in heaven. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we prepare for our meditation, let us release all so that we may be consciously one with the Father, which is in heaven. God is in the midst of us. We are reminded closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. In the stillness, we feel his presence, and we know that we are one with it. There is a spirit in man that knows from whence he came, and it is our spiritual integrity that remembers who we are. The Father within knows just what to do. Our nature is divine, and that is our sufficiency. Let us give no thought. God is received in the heart, and it is there that he gives realization. In this coming week, let us remember to turn often to that place of serenity. This place that is not touched by human thought or opinion. We are not of this world. We are of his kingdom, which is not of this world. Let us know that we are his child. Let us be still and understand us in this way. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May you turn within and acknowledge the one Father, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.